You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we have our episode 11 predictions and power rankings for Survivor 49. I am joined by Survivor 42's Omer, who's coming off of a Traders Canada stint as well. Omer, what's going on?
I am doing great. I am excited to talk about the season. I am now no longer in reality TV limbo on the Traders because they kicked me out. So I'm ready to get back into Survivor.
I love that. I love to hear that. Yeah, I feel like I got the timing of you like a week late, huh? I probably should have.
Yeah. I mean, last week was busy with the exit press. So now we're on to Survivor.
Now you're on to 49. You're on to 50. You're on to talking about everything. I mean, yeah. Survivor now, we're doing this. It's November 30th. We got one more day. It's December. And I mean, it's full blown end of 49, off season into 50. I feel like it should be a good time for people to be excited about Survivor. And I feel like we have a pretty interesting setup for this final seven after last week's boot of Juwan. What was your take on Juwan going out there?
I was very surprised. I thought that he and Sage were like very well positioned to be kind of like the middling people that were going to keep getting by and kind of flip-flopping pendulum swing back and forth. But I guess it shows perhaps the Sage and Juwan flip on the old Uli tribe was maybe just a tad too soon, because had it been a tad later, maybe there would have been a little bit more or less runway for the other players to kind of work around. But at the same time, I thought it was a really good move, you know, for the part of the trio, Savannah, Rizzo, and Sophie, to get out people kind of in the middle that were kind of going back and forth. I think the question of whether it was good for yellow Sophie, another question. I can see the pros and cons either way, but she made an interesting decision, and that's fun to talk about because it hasn't always been like some of the votes have been very straightforward. Mm-hmm. So the fact that there's some and very clear what they should have done. So it's not even like you can like hate on the decisions that were made. It's just like obvious that that was the right choice and it went down that way. But this is one where I think there could be a debate either way.
Yeah, I feel like with Yellow Sophie, it's really compelling because we heard so little from her early on. And I feel like now she's taken over a little bit and I understand where her mind is at. But I almost feel like I was trained to think she's wrong because I heard so little of her early on. So while she's talking about all this stuff, I'm saying, man, was this the right move for Sophie or not? She's saying she wants to keep Savannah around because Savannah's just as good at challenges. So it keeps a little bit of a target off her back. But when I look at this group of four, I say, how does Yellow Sophie beat any of them? And I don't know if she's thinking about that or not. And that's why I have a hard time saying it was the right move, because even if the jury is loaded up with Hinas, I think she's going to get wiped. I don't think she gets a lot of their votes at Final Tribe.
Well, yeah, because she's kind of the one responsible for them going home to some extent. And so I do think, like, I understand her position in that she felt she was at the bottom of Hina, in the sense that they were all kind of like okay with her going, whether that was true, whether that was perceived, or whether that's partially the edit, I don't know. But that's how she felt. So in that situation, I do understand the jump away from that group. However, it's different to jump from the bottom of one group to the bottom of another group and empower a different group. And I feel like that is a little bit what's happening, because at some point, this trio of Savannah, Rizzo, and Sophie B, Blue Sophie, Miami Sophie, it has to be broken up. You know, they're dwindling down in numbers. They keep letting the idol get by. And so I feel like it's just, you're now, if let's say you're a Yellow Sophie and you truly are at the bottom of either group, you're now at the bottom of a group that has a lot more hardware than the other side. And so that's where I wonder. And also you had that in, you know, you have Jawan and Sage as a pair, but then you have Steven and Christina that you've had a longer bond with. Can you work with them over Jawan and Sage, or, you know, cut out one of them? Like, this, is this move terrible if she now flips back and, you know, does a 4-3, but your 4-3 is a lot less powerful with that idol still in the game. They don't even know Savannah has an extra vote, or that Sophie has the idol, or knowledge is power. And so I feel like it's kind of similar to the Ghost Island situation where they were really running out of wiggle room to get rid of Dominic and Wendell because they had all the hardware. And so that is interesting to me.
Yeah, and I feel like if she wants to flip back, great, because Savannah did play her extra vote last week. So there was –
Right.
Yeah, she did use that. So that is out of the game. But still, she doesn't know about the knowledge is power, but if she were to flip back at this moment, at this final seven, I do feel like Rizzo probably has enough trust in her that he'd be saying, I probably don't need to play my idol right now. I feel like she has built up that trust and she's really talked up enough of disliking the other side. And right now, if she goes to the end with Steven, Christina, Sage, I think she probably could beat them. It's just like you're saying, if she goes to the other side, they have the hardware and they're the more dangerous trio. Like, I don't feel like you can get to the end with two of those people and win, even if they play very similar games, because I think the jury will latch on to whichever one has the better final tribal. And that's who's going to wipe the floor with you at that final tribal.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, I forgot that Savannah did end up burning her vote there. But she is, like, Sophie, yeah, she could flip back and then convince Rizzo that he's not going home, all this, that, and the other. But she's got to be able to, like, really sell it and pull it off. And part of that will be selling those three a story to where they believe that she'll stick with them. Because if you're looking at it from their perspective, you know, they should realize that it's 4-3. They could easily get turned on in this moment. And if one of them, which they've been pretty good at challenges, can win the immunity challenge, then now it's a 50-50 on who they need to play their idol for. So I do think that there is some wiggle room for Sophie, but I'm just not sure. We haven't seen enough of her. Like, we see her in the moment now talking about how she's feeling in the moment, but what's her long-term game plan? I'm not really sure yet.
Yeah, I know. And we'll have to see where that goes on this episode. Got to throw up this super chat here from Alexandra Alberts. Omer walked so Savannah can run as a villain. How do you feel being lumped in there as a villain, Omer?
I embrace the villainy. I'm happy to be. I always wanted. That was my goal. I was like, I'll be a spicy, fun, but not mean villain. And I feel like Savannah's been a really refreshing type of player to watch on the show. I feel like her and Sage especially have brought something different that we haven't seen in quite a long time. And I think that their energy is very fun. And I don't think that Savannah is, at least from what we've seen, because I feel like we've seen a lot of Savannah's this and Savannah's that, but we haven't actually seen her be mean or be a villain other than just being like very direct and a little bit spicy. And, but she's been a villain in a fun way as well. And so I do like, I've been enjoying her a lot.
What did you think about when Jawan got voted out and the votes were being read and she's looking him in the eye saying, did you do
so
that?
So petty. I love the pettiness. I think it's so funny. Now, is it going to be something that comes back to bite her in terms of pissing off the jury unnecessarily? Like, that's possible. We saw that a little bit with Tyson saying, you know, there's your seat over there to Katie Collins. You know, that was kind of funny, but was it what she wanted to hear on the way out? Probably not. So I think it's super funny. There's no strategic reason to do it because it's not like those votes are changing. They are locked in. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Yeah. But I do think it's very funny. And I think it's ballsy too, because it could come back to bite her, or people could look at it and respect it. You know, it's hard to know. You have to know your audience. So we'll see.
Yeah, it was interesting because last week I kept on saying, I think that screws her from getting Jawan's vote. And a lot of people are like, no, Jawan's a gamer. He's going to vote for her. He's going to do this. I'm like, I don't know. If she's sitting next to Rizzo, he's probably voting for Rizzo. And I know that some people feel that Rizzo showed him up a little bit last week too. And some people weren't happy with Rizzo's antics at Tribal Council. Rizzo's felt less targeted though. I mean, she was smiling in his face, right? I mean, like that was, I mean, they were inches from each other. They were sitting next to each other at the tribal council. So, hey, we'll see how it goes. I know that I'm a pretty petty person, so I probably would not be voting for Savannah if she did that to me. But then, hey, maybe I also would be a hypocrite there because I'm also saying I want villains. I want villains. I want excitement. And maybe getting laughed at as I'm on my way out, I should be pleased with. And I should say thank you, Savannah, for at least bringing spice to our TV screens. And
yeah, it's just hard to know. It's hard to know how people are going to react, honestly. Like, it is a moment that is very emotionally intense, and people and what they do and say there can really leave a lasting impact. I remember when Marianne took credit for voting me out, I was like, well, I respect that, you know, because that's the type of game that I was playing. So she's going to do it. Like, if I can dish it out, I should be able to take it. Mm-hmm. But I remember, and Jonathan, he did kind of imply credit for me getting voted out, but he didn't want to fully say. And I was like, well, I feel like you got to sell it if you want to convince me of that. But I do remember even like someone who, like Mike, who I love, and I think has been on recently, right? For your podcast.
No, we had Mike on once a while ago. I think he was on Survivor Now recently.
He on the way out was said to me, he's like, you know, I loved you and I never voted for you. And I was like, okay, Mike, like you were in on a split. You know what I mean? It's like, I think that what people say there can really make or break you in some ways. And I wouldn't say that that made or break Mike to me. I was just like, that seems like a blind spot in the game. Of like understanding, like that's not what you should be selling in that moment, because it's like, if you're gonna do it, then take full ownership of it, kind of thing. And so that I wonder how Joanne will take it, but it could go either way because he might not mind that, or he might think that's annoying.
And we'll I know we're getting a little bit ahead here, but now that we're talking about Final Tribal Council, I think one of the most interesting facets would be if we did get the Sophie, Rizzo, Savannah Final Three. Who is going to do the best job of taking credit for everything that's happening? Because Sophie Bellarity has the benefit of Alex sitting on the jury to be able to talk about what she did in the early portion of the game. She also was on a tribe with Rizzo and Savannah. Savannah can make pitches, but Rizzo's the one who's had the idol. Now, Savannah did get to go over and she had that extra advantage when she won immunity. She did get the extra vote, but it would be very interesting to see what that trio focuses on, what each individual person tries to make their own. Because I always think about this, like when Todd, Courtney, and Amanda all played together, they all tried to take ownership of very different things. When Russell, Natalie, and Mick played together, they all tried to take advantage of, or, you know, credit for very different things. Mm-hmm. This trio feels like they are playing so in lockstep right now. And even as a viewer, I'm not sitting here feeling like one of them is being rammed down my throat as the better player, as the move maker. Right. Rizzo's definitely impressed me a lot over the last couple of episodes with not playing the idol and everything. But at the same time, it's not like he's actually made a singular massive move. He's just been able to hold on to that idol, which is impressive, but maybe to a jury doesn't look super impressive when it's like you held on to it, but you weren't the threat. Yeah. Savannah was the threat.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that we all saw in Survivor 41, you know, Xander held on to the idol and we all watched that and was like, that's really impressive. But ultimately, you know, what you find out later is that people just didn't really get threatened by him. And so the same thing, I mean, I think the thing is Rizzo's game that he talks in confessional is very impressive. Like the way he speaks and gives himself credit for certain things. But some of the stuff that he's saying too, I'm like, well, that's a little bit of a leap in terms of like, well, you know, MC's game kind of blew up independently, like on her own, and then her and Sophie started turning up against each other. Is that something that you can really take credit for at a final tribal council, that people will take you seriously? Because you have to have a full awareness of what your game is. Otherwise, people, if you try to serve up a filet mignon that's medium rare, but it's really like well done, that's not going to impress anybody. You know, like it's maybe it's impressive that you made a steak that was well done if you just said that. But when you're trying to sell it as something it's not, I think that people will see through that. So I think that that would just be his biggest thing. And I think the thing is, what we don't know from him is he really selling it in one way in confessional, like to be a good storyteller? You know what I mean? Like we all do that a little bit too, right? It's not, I mean, that's part of the fun. But what is he telling the other players, or what's his pitch going to be? I think for him, he's his own biggest obstacle in terms of like, how does he see his game and how is he going to present it? That's what I see his biggest obstacle as. For Savannah, it's going to be, yes, she's very direct. She's very blunt. She's playing in a very fun way. But at the same time, what people remember is how you make them feel. And if the people don't like how you make them feel, whether or not you were ballsy and a great player character or whatever it may be, they're going to try to find a reason to not vote for you to win. So the question is how much of that, but then all at the same time, sometimes people might respect, well, you never pretended to be my friend. So it's all in how she sells that part as well. And then Sophie, I think, is interesting because a lot of times people on the jury, especially in such a fast paced game, kind of forget, except for Survivor 43, where they really locked onto the merge vote, they forget a lot of the stuff that happens early on. And none of them saw her play on the blue tribe, but it's impressive that she survived all of that way through. Mm-hmm. But what people are really going to remember in this jury phase is all the memories they made together. And the question is Sophie going to take ownership? Because right now Rizzo and Savannah are like up here mm-hmm. in front of her from what, you know, everybody's viewing, at least from what we see on the show. And if she's tucked in at behind them at number three, that's a really good spot to be in, but you have to do something with it. And the thing that is beneficial for Sophie is that she has knowledge is power, which nobody knows about. What if she uses that at the last minute to take it from Rizzo? Mm-hmm. Like, that is the move from somebody in her perspective. That leaves a very small number of people left, less of an opportunity to make a move on herself. And then she can get to the end and probably win with something big like that.
And I was saying on our recap, I do feel like this is probably the time to do that. She's at final seven. I think she can use knowledge as power through six, and then she can use the idol through five.
She should take it at six.
She could take it at six. She could take it this week too, though, because if she were to take it this week, the votes wouldn't turn on her at this week's episode, right? So then she goes into final six with an idol, with relationships, and with just needing to win one immunity. Now, I know she hasn't been very good at challenges. If she can wait till six, that's the better time to do it. But that also depends on how this episode goes, right? Because if Sophie is hearing from the other side so much that they want to get rid of Savannah or they want to get rid of Rizzo, and the idol is in the game, and Rizzo says, I'm not trusting Sophie Segretti right now, yellow Sophie. I want to play my idol. All of a sudden, she says, wait, I want that idol to be mine, because I know you're the perfect person to have on right now. Because I brought this up during, we did Digging Deeper on Thursday. On Thanksgiving, I did Digging Deeper, and I brought this up. I said, on your season, we had no idea that you had an idol nullifier, right? It was an idol nullifier that you had.
Yeah.
That never made the edit because it never was relevant to the story. With Sophie's knowledge is power is one of those things that if they really wanted to leave it out, they could have. Last week, they cut out the scene of her going through Christina's bag and finding the idol. They deemed that not important enough to put in the hour and 30 minutes that we get every week. So if they're determining that that's not important enough, but they're telling us that the knowledge is power is important enough, well, we know she's not taking Christina's idol, so she must be taking someone's, unless ultimately that knowledge is power and her not playing it is the reason she loses. But I'm leaning more towards it's going to get played before she actually gets to final three.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure, because I just think that if they're such a fan of showing advantages, which is so annoying that they didn't show mine, but I think that was still a time where there was so much going on and there was 42 minutes in the episode.
Yeah.
And really the only thing that happened with that nullifier, like, it was actually a big part of my game. It was a big part of the decisions I made. And I just think including that would have actually given Jonathan and Mike a lot more credit for my vote out than Marianne, who was the eventual winner. So there was really no purpose that it served, because it wasn't used, and the presence of it really did inflate other people's games. But we've seen immunity idols that, you know, didn't really have an effect, but they still showed them. And same with other advantages, like knowledge is like Parvati's had an idol nullifier. Mm-hmm. And I think with 90 minutes, they're going to show Sophie's advantage regardless. But I think that her killer move really would be to take it from her closest ally.
Yeah.
As opposed to, and I think for me, I would say if she can get through the seven vote without having to steal it, that would be better, because I made a huge play at seven and got caught at six. Mm-hmm. But I would say that if he is looking to play it, he's probably going to confide in her. And then, like you said, she should probably take it at that point.
Yeah, you got to have it in your possession rather than let him play it, because I think that's the beauty of this scenario is Rizzo would not be able to play the idol and then she can just hold it. That's the beauty, is that she doesn't have to play it at this tribal. And I think if she were to take it, it's before the votes are read or it's before the votes are cast. I think it's before the votes are cast.
It's right before the votes are cast. And then they don't really let you speak. You would just have to go right into the voting.
Because that was going to be my comment, was going to be that if there was time to talk after, Rizzo could say, hey, everybody, let's vote for Sophie Bellairdi. But if the vote's already going one way and she steals that, Rizzo could flip. Maybe he tries to do something, but Jeff's going to shut that down. That's really her only risk at this final seven. I think what's weird for me is I feel like Sophie's the winner of the season. I do. I have felt like that for a while. However, I do feel like if Sophie doesn't make a big move, she cannot win at Final Tribal Council. Like, her story isn't enough. I've been saying her story is a great one and you don't want to sit next to it, but she needs a little extra spice on top of that story. And right now she doesn't have it, but she has the ammo to create this moment in a way that none of the other six players around her has.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing, she has all the information. Her alliance members are bigger targets than her. They're going to get sent home before she will. And they trust her 100%. And she's only ever shown them that they can trust her. And she has all of their information and intel, and they don't have hers. So really, taking Rizzo's idol for Sophie is a game-winning move. And I think that that's how she would do it if she wins.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the other side, because we spent so much time on the trio. We've talked a little bit about Sophie Segretti, but let's talk about this Sage, Steven, Christina coming back to camp. Christina and Steven being left out twice in a row now. Sage is pissed. She's lost her closest ally. Where do you actually think this is going?
Well, I think that, you know, the three of them at least have the benefit of having all been left out of this vote. And they were all on the same side. So theoretically, they should have some trust moving forward with each other. And all they need is Yellow Sophie. That's all they need. So I think that they should, you know, as annoyed or pissed as they might be, that really is their best chance. And that's also in Sophie's best interest. So they should probably, you know, hopefully find a way to patch that up, because, and just trust in the mutual beneficial strategy that they all would share. Now, could they say, well, F Sophie, because we can't trust her because it was in her best interest to vote with us last time and she did it? And I mean, that's a fair point. But at the same time, is Sophie in a better position with a group of four as opposed to five? Like, possibly. So why not? Like, if she can explain that and be like, yes, I'm with you now, I think they need to latch on to that. I don't think it makes sense for them. They're battling a three-headed dragon. They can't splinter their numbers right now.
Yeah, like, you don't have a choice. And there was a comment up here that somebody had put, and I cannot find it yet, or I cannot find it now, but they had said that you see in the preview for next week, Yellow Sophie, here it is, Daryl Seymour. In the preview, Sage tells Yellow Sophie that she's mad at her for smiling when Juwan left. Suppress your smile. It also feels like Yellow Sophie's kind of going at, or Sage is going at Yellow Sophie a little bit. Sage really isn't in a position to go at anybody. And I understand the raw emotion of coming back from a tribal council where you were just blindsided, just lost your closest ally. Things are going wrong for you now. Yellow Sophie is probably your best bet. So you really don't have a choice but to make her feel good. And I think that's what's really good about Yellow Sophie's game here, is she has positioned herself perfectly to be in the middle. Perfect. Right. And I think that this week, let's say she were to go with Steven, Christina, and Sage and vote out Rizzo, she could turn around and go back to the other side at the next tribal and vote out somebody else. And I know that would only be a 3-3, but I don't know what to make of Christina's game, because I feel like she's had so many slip ups. And we still know that there's a knowledge is power, and that can be used for more than just idols. That can be used also for other advantages. There just are none right now. So who knows what advantages are going to be thrown in at the final six of the season.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think the thing is, I think, yes, Sage is being a little bit spicy, but at the same time, sometimes a little bit of spice is, what's that nursery rhyme? A little bit of spice and some is something nice. I don't know. Like, if you are too sugary and too sweet to somebody that just lied to your face, it could also come off as insincere as well.
Yeah.
So I think there's probably a balance to be hit. So we'll see where she goes from here. I think that Sage's best move is going to be to go with Sophie, Steven, and Christina. If she does otherwise, then, you know, I'll be like, well, that was a bad move. But I do think that Sage's game sense has been very good pretty much this whole time, including, you know, she could have had an epic move where she flushed two idols and got out a target, and that would have been incredible. And I think that she had the right tools. And I think that some could argue that maybe that wasn't Sophie Segretti's best interest, and then she didn't go with it. And so I think that Sage has had a very strategic mind. It's just she hasn't had to face, I mean, she was on the outs early, but she hasn't had to face the adversity of being blindsided at a tribal council until now. So it'll be interesting to see what she does with that. Now, we have seen before where she wanted to go a certain way, and then she had to be talked out of it by Jawan, like when she wanted Rizzo out instead of MC. But hopefully she can listen to her instincts and go with the way she wants to go now.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Like, we've seen her frustrated. We've seen her have to go against her wishes, but we've never seen her unknowingly go against, like, we've never seen other people take advantage of her to the state, to the extent that she's now no longer a part of the vote. And so how will she play for the first time on her heels? Cause we know she wanted Shannon out and she wasn't able to get Shannon the first time or whatever it was. And I guess she did get her the first time, but whatever it's been with Sage, she's had to say, I want this person. And then it goes a different way. I want this person. It goes a different way. How will she react to this? And I'm hopeful that, like you said, she has the game sense. I'm hoping that she's going to be able to figure out how to navigate this portion, get with Christina, get with Steven, and say, look, we're getting Yellow Sophie on our side, and we're voting her out at Final Six, and that's that. Like, she betrayed us. We'll pull a 3-2-1 on her at Final Six. Because at this point, I understand why Sophie wanted to keep Savannah around for the advantage stuff. You were at Final 7 of Survivor. Savannah is part of a 3-person alliance. Even if you feel like you're better in that group, you have to know that they have better arguments to win the game than you. So you have to go against them. And I think that could be a way to get rid of a big threat this week, blindside Yellow Sophie next week. And then you're going into Final 5 where Sage, Steven, and Christina have the majority, are probably the favorites. And Sage may put herself back in the favorite position overall to even beat a Rizzo or Savannah if she were to sit next to them at the end.
Yeah, but also if you're Yellow Sophie, why not, I guess it, maybe this did happen, but why not push for that group of five to put 4 of their votes on Rizzo instead of Savannah? If Savannah's helping your game, you have to say, well, we have to get the idol out. Mm-hmm. Because if he keeps it and she goes home, then we are still left in a very shitty position. So why not get them to kind of go that way? And then, you know, the way that the numbers are working out, they actually did have, like, the appropriate thing could be to split one vote off onto one of the other ones, because the other three, they can't split their three votes at all. They have to vote all together. And so, you know, if an idol gets played and they can hopefully counteract and play, you know, I think that putting that extra vote is fine if Christina can hit the right person, which Sophie would have that information of who the right person is.
Yeah.
So if they could do the double idol play, or if Sophie really wants to, if Rizzo plays his idol on himself, then she can, and she doesn't want Savannah to go, then she doesn't have to tell them to put the right idol on the right person. So I feel like that would have been a better optimal move, but maybe there's something we're missing too.
Yeah, I mean, of course, right? I was saying 2 weeks ago now when they did the split vote, I was saying how dumb I thought it was that Jawan and Sage didn't take the chance to get rid of Rizzo, to put all the votes on Rizzo. And if it doesn't go that way, MC goes home. And then last week, the week after that, I don't know, now I'm all confused. The week after that, I had said, now I'm just confused. Maybe it wasn't such a bad move, because maybe now they're in a position where they feel like they can beat Rizzo and Savannah at the end. And we were just duped by season 48, where a lot of people were saying, get rid of Joe and Eva. But in reality, Joe and Eva were always going to lose to either Kyle or Camilla. So they didn't need to get rid of them. So I said, maybe that's the position we're in. Clearly I was wrong about that, because Juwan's now sitting at home watching the rest of the game. Like, I wonder, like, what is the threat level in everybody's minds right now for Rizzo, for Sophie, for Savannah? Are they as unbeatable feeling as we think they are? Because I agree with you. You want to keep Savannah in the game? Fine. this is your chance to get rid of Rizzo, though, and lie and tell them whatever and vote him out of the game, because you're coming out of that episode. If you get rid of Rizzo last week and you're Yellow Sophie, you're coming out of that episode as one person with three pairs. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, unless they all turn on you, but I don't think Blue, Sophie, and Savannah are getting together with Jawan and Sage after that happens. And I think Christina and Steven are kind of doing their own thing. If you're Yellow Sophie, you are positioning yourself where you get to choose which pair goes home. Mm-hmm. And then you get to choose which side of the pairs you want to take at five. So
yeah,
I don't know, maybe that's too hard to see.
More and more I'm thinking, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Like I get that Savannah is a shield for you, but that's one way to think about one thing. What about the threat of the three of them? Like, it is too much, in my opinion. So I do think that she should have stuck with the Sage, Jawan, Christina, Steven side, but maybe gone for a target that was more optimal for her.
Yeah. So now we're almost a half hour in here. We'll get to the ranking of the seven players shortly here, but where do you stand on Christina and Steven coming out of this episode? Any hope for them at all? Or like, are they just going to kind of have to go wherever the wind blows?
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame that they had to waste the idol on the wrong situation this week, but I think that they are in a better position than they were going into the episode. But now the thing is, theoretically, it should be very good because you have Sage versus Savannah, Rizzo, and Sophie B. So that should be a bit of a distraction. But I think the game is tightening up and getting so dire that they really need to like lock in and get Sophie Segretti back to make something happen.
Yeah.
And to be fair, it's in all of their best interests. So it should be easy.
It should be. Christina and Sophie haven't had the greatest relationship, it seems like, though, ever since in that second episode, third episode, whatever it was, when it came back to Sophie Segretti that her name had been brought up by Christina and by, I guess, Steven or Matt. It seemed like she was more mad at Matt than anybody, but Christina was still involved in that. It doesn't seem like they have the best relationship at this point. And then also her coming back to the realization that nobody's really that upset, or everybody's really upset that she's there and not MC. It feels so obvious when you're watching on the outside, but if personal feelings get too involved, all of a sudden Sophie's making more emotional decisions than anything, because I don't feel like Christina and Steven have a choice. They have to go wherever they can go. And if I'm Steven,
I think that's what she should use to her advantage, because they don't really have a choice. And I think that in the game, sometimes to some extent, you have to let bygones be bygones, because every day is a new day with a new dynamic. And so sometimes working with your enemy is going to be, if it's mutually beneficial, which this is just so obviously mutually beneficial, mm-hmm. that I think that there's a chance that all four of them will come together, because when you have a three-person alliance that's that strong, that they all see vote together and have been on the underdog since the merge, like, you've got to wonder. And maybe it's not as obvious to them, because we see sometimes, you know, Christina is surprised that Sophie B blindsided her, for instance. Like, she thought that Sophie B was closer to them than she was. So maybe it's not. But now that they've voted this way so many times, it should be quite obvious.
Yeah. And I mean, Christina just wasted an idol and was totally left out of who the real decision was going to be. So if she goes back and feels any type of confidence in Sophie B or Savannah or Rizzo, I mean, she's just missing it at that point then. Like, I don't know what else to say in that moment. To me, and I don't want to spoil my power rankings, but I feel like Steven's probably in the most danger coming into this episode, because I feel like he probably has the most winner potential out of the people who are on the wrong side of the numbers. But so Sophie Bellarity had put out on X last week that when she went through the bag, they found out that Christina had the idol, and that's why they changed the vote to Jawan. Now, she didn't say who they changed it from, but you'd have to assume that she was changing it from Steven. Right. Because Christina's not going to play it for Jawan or Sage, so you'd have to assume it was going to be Steven. Steven seems like he's a threat, but Steven doesn't seem like he's the biggest threat. So do you feel like if Steven doesn't win immunity, he's gone? Or do you feel like Steven has another path?
Well, I think his only path is the four of them working together. Like, they should all work together now. And the other side, sure, should go for him. That's fine. Mm-hmm. They should go for him or Sage or whoever. Doesn't really matter. But from Steven's perspective, his pathway out of this is to vote with Christina, Sophie, and Sage, period. And that's a majority. So I think his position may be bad, but I think it was actually worse this week because they didn't need him. Mm-hmm. But now they need him if they need to make a move.
Yeah, and if Sophie Segretti starts to look like she's defecting, Steven might actually be the best person for the other side to grab, right? Like,
right.
Even somebody who's saying, just get me one more day, because I do feel like if Steven sits at the end, he hasn't made a lot of flashy moves. He hasn't done a lot of that stuff, but he's very liked. And that could be all it takes. If you sit at the end next to two villains, if people are seeing Rizzo and Savannah as villains, that's a win.
Yeah, and this is also where immunity challenges do become very important, because if the four of them are working together, if they can keep the immunity necklace on their side, then Rizzo has to guess a 1 in 3 chance rather than a 50-50.
Yeah.
And I think that the thing is, he is wild enough, he could play it for somebody else. So you have to basically keep it on lockdown. All of them should be like, we're voting for one of you and you're not going to know who.
Yeah.
And, you know, see what happens. Like, it is going to be kind of random. And then they should honestly like kind of pick randomly, because the more they try to say we're like, if I think that they could be read more easily than a random vote would be.
I agree with that. And it's like almost like you have to just not decide until you get right before tribal or even at tribal, just say this is who we're voting. Boom, done.
Or everybody pick a number between 1 and, you know, whatever, because that's who's going, because then that actually forces Rizzo to probably play the idol for himself.
That's a good point. And then, but here's Savannah, who just keeps winning immunities or being close to winning immunities. And it's like, we'll see.
Yeah.
So, a lot of game here left. All right, let's rank these players 1 to 7 of who you think is most likely to stay to who you think is most likely to go home. So
it's not about win potential. It's about safety.
Yeah, it's not about win potential. I'll ask you at the end about who you think actually can win and who your favorites are and stuff like that. But this is just about safety. This is just, this person has no chance of going home, which honestly, at this point, I feel like we're in such a mess. I feel like 49 has very quietly become very good. And I feel like people don't want to admit that because they know too much about season 50 and it's really impacting the way people are viewing this season. But I feel like the last couple episodes have been really good. And I feel like we're at a final 7 where it feels really wide open. So the win potential might actually work almost in lockstep, because it's like, well, do you think Rizzo will play the idol for himself? Do you think Sophie Bellarity is going to take the knowledge as power and use something? So it's just who you think is safest to who you think is going home. So who do you think is the safest this week?
I personally think that Sophie B is the safest by far, because if they flip on that group, they're still probably going to try to go for Rizzo or Savannah. Sophie looks like she's talking to Sage about potentially flipping on Rizzo and Savannah, which keeps her even a little bit more safe. The only way I think that Sophie B goes home is if they say we have to hit one of those three and we're going to pick the person who least has the idol. But she has the idol nullifier or knowledge is power. So if she really anticipates that the other four are voting together, she might just take it from Rizzo.
And so if she does take it, and you said like they can't talk, so they're just going to, it's going to be taken and that's it. Do you think though that there's the potential that earlier on in the episode, it looks like we see her and Sophie Segretti talking to each other, walking on the trail, fist bumping each other, saying, I don't want to go to the end with them. I want to take them out. Do you think there's any chance that Sophie Bellarity actually oversells to Sophie Segretti here, and that Sophie Segretti goes back to Savannah and Rizzo and says, hey, she's telling me a little bit. I also think she might have an advantage. You guys should like change hands with that idol or something like that.
I don't think so, because I just feel like, what's Sophie's angle then? You know, I feel like Sophie's angle, if she's going with those three, is probably to buddy up with Sophie B, because she knows that Rizzo and Savannah have each other. So who is going to be, if Sophie is out there burning the only like potential person that could work with her from that group, then I don't know why she would want to work with that group.
I'm going with the other Sophie as my safest. The reason why is just because I feel like she's in the middle of this. Sophie Bellarity could still be a target. Like you said, if they go random, if they want to do the person they think is least likely to have the idol, they could go for her. Any of the other three I could see being targeted by Rizzo, Sophie, and Savannah. But when it comes to Sophie Segretti, I look at where her position is and everybody should be vying for her vote. And it's too late in the game to pull like a Sarah Lucina type move and vote out the swing person or vote out the person in the middle. I feel like you'd have to do that later, because I don't feel like what in the edit or what even just from what we've heard from any players is telling us that Steven, Sage, and Christina would ever work with those other three people at this point. Like nothing is telling me that that would happen. So I feel like Sophie Segretti's in a good spot. And I was making this argument of, since Survivor 41, and again, this is just a hypothesis, right? We can't prove it yet. But since Survivor 41, every single winner has gotten a confessional in every episode. Erica was the last one to not. And Sophie Segretti didn't get a confessional in episode 2. But what do Sophie and Erica have in common? They both didn't go to a single pre-merge tribal council. And they are the only... Erica is the only winner of the new era to have such a trait. And then if Sophie were to win, she'd be the second one. So maybe it was, look, we had nothing to do with her this episode. Nothing was happening. Like, we didn't want to make her look bad and there was nothing to tell you. So I'm wondering almost, because what we've seen from her, and I brought this up in one of my episodes last week, she has the third most confessionals since the merge, and she's only one behind Savannah. And Savannah had that massive 13 confessional episode because she got to win that immunity that came with the advantage, mm-hmm. go over there. She talked nonstop during that episode. And Sage actually has the most out of anybody. So she's got more than Rizzo. She's got more than Steven. She had more than Jawan, who's gone. She has more than Sophie Bellardi. And I'm sitting here going, were they just slow playing her edit because there was nothing to tell us? And are we just overlooking her because of that one goose egg?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Cause I feel also, I think it's different to not have any airtime in a 90-minute episode. Like that is a lot harder to not get. But I just think that so much of her storyline early on was just, even with Erica, there were like little hints that she was like more social or that she was such a big threat that they had to go after her. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Sophie Segretti's pre-merge edit was so, I mean, kind of sucks for her. Like I'm sure all she did was not just talk about food, but that's all kind of what we saw from her. But I think more so is I just don't see her being super tied to anybody here. And I feel like she just doesn't have, like Erica had Heather, everybody else, you know, Marianne had me keeping her safe.
Yeah, until she decided to get Ioma, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, Gabler had Cody and Jesse and Jam had Batika 3. So all of these people, they had people that were like really protecting them and keeping them safe longer term. And here we have, you know, Sage had Jawan but lost it, but now has some mutual bond with Steven and with Christina. Sophie, Rizzo, and Savannah have each other. And Sophie Segretti has kind of at times voted against everybody and pissed everybody off. And so, and she's a threat to win challenges. So I think her road to get to the end is kind of difficult. Cause I do think at some point, if for instance, you're down to 5, 6, whatever, and you know, her and Savannah are the biggest immunity threats, but Savannah has people really backing her and Sophie doesn't, I feel like it could just go on to her. So I think her path to get to the end is a little bit more difficult, but I have liked that they didn't just finish her storyline off like they started it. They actually like really gave her something because she has been a very good character that they that was obviously underutilized. She has a lot to say. We see on social media too. And it's, I think she's a fun character as well. Like I do think the season started off quite slow. I don't think that's a reflection of the cast. Like I think it's a good cast. I think it's a game design issue. And I do think that it's really coming together more so the last few episodes.
Yeah. We've did so many rants this whole pre-merge about how the game design is just broken, how the three tribes star, it always leads to disaster tribes, the Flint being taken every time. Like it just,
although I don't think that's a big deal.
You don't think it's a big deal. So who was the one who said that was the biggest deal? Somebody said, anyway, Omer's over here hitting us with that, but either way, it's like, it's like they.
Really, I think a machete is. In I feel like in the new era, at least, all the food that we have is coconuts. So we didn't have rice pre-merge. So having, and our tribe had fish. So sure, like we needed to cook that. But in terms of like, there's no ration that you have to use. And so having a fire, at least our tribe did not really, except for Marianne, didn't sleep by the fire. So we didn't even get the warmth from that. Like it really, if we didn't have a machete, and that's what we saw in Survivor 43, where Cody had to go steal something from the Coco tribe. Yeah. And they were like, please don't take our machete. It's because like, that's everything to cut open coconuts and prepare food because all the food that we had was like needed to be opened. Yeah. And so I think that that is actually the bigger issue if they would take that away. The Flint without rice, in my opinion, it's a nice luxury, but it's not needed.
Gotcha.
I think it's more that, you know, a lot of the challenges are the same style, and then you have a small group, and when you lose, you have to, the other tribes get to sit out the person that's least suitable to that challenge. Mm-hmm. And also morale is just, it is a summative effect that I think it just becomes a snowball, and it's boring. Like, we want to see, I even want to spice it up a little bit, send somebody from the winning tribe to the losing tribe, let them vote at tribal council. Mm-hmm. Like we saw with Savannah. Like, I feel like I've been pitching that as a twist forever now, because that would be fun and doesn't break the game completely.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, how much information do they have? And you think about early on in Survivor's history. I mean, we're going all the way back to season 9 here. John was able to go to the tribal council with mm-hmm. the women and assign immunity to one of the women when they were there. And he says, I love the line that he uses where he says, I'm going to give immunity to this person because I don't think it really matters either way, but you guys need a lot of help. And he just gives it to, I forget who, but some random
Amy.
It was Amy, because he knew Amy wasn't going to go home. And he just said, screw it, I'm giving it to Amy. And I think, like you talk, this was season 9. They were taking that type of chance in season 9. And maybe that type of twist doesn't work all the time. But like you're saying, let's just take a chance. And I feel like that's been the worst part about it, is it's felt formulaic. And then when they do throw the twists in, like a tribe swap or something like that, tribe swaps at this point, I know there were a lot of seasons that didn't have them, but most people, if you're a diehard Survivor fan, you've seen almost every iteration of how to get out of bad numbers or get into the right side of things when there's a tribe swap that works out favorably or unfavorably. Like, you've seen it happen over and over and over again. And then the way they did the tribe swap this season was a disaster by doing it random when you had 6, 6, and 2, because then the people who were just on the bottom were just still on the bottom. It didn't make sense. So I don't know. I feel like the creativity just needs to come back, because now we're in the post merge and you're letting the players just play. I still hate doing a split tribal at post merge, but I feel like they're letting the players just play. And that has led to some
exciting moments. And that's when it's best. Yeah, I agree. And I'm just such a fan of little tweaks that could really just change the game, because I really think with the margins, like, you have one of these tribes post swap, it's 4-2-1. You get an extra vote in there by somebody else. Like let's say Savannah went, or no, I guess Savannah won every challenge there. But like, let's say Sage goes over or Shannon goes over and votes with that tribe that's going to tribal council, where Jason and Matt go home. All of a sudden, it's like much more interesting about what could happen. Also, could we have like a twist of like mutiny, where maybe each tribe has one like emergency mutiny button or something like that, and the first person to hit it gets to leave, and it has to be before the immunity challenge, because you can't cop out like that. But like, that way it's always in the air that somebody could leave your tribe, so you better make sure everybody's comfortable. And if you really feel like you're at the bottom, then that's your out, and take it. And it may pay off, it may not. But those are like non-force storylines that I feel like would keep the game fresh and interesting. And so that's kind of the stuff I want to see.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people, we've been going through the seasons in order on our Patreon, and I think a lot of people forget how in the early seasons, every season with the exception of Australia after Borneo introduced something brand new that could have been game breaking. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, we don't want this crazy, over the top, stupid twist. But at the end of the day, you do want something. You just want something new each time. You don't want it to be the same thing. And I think it felt too repetitious, where I'm willing to take a chance with anything. Like, I was a big defender of the 3 tribes of 4 this season, rather than doing a mergatory. Because I know a lot of people are saying, well, now there's nowhere to hide, this could just be bad luck, you just go home, whatever. I said, but try it once. Do it once. Make it the season now, where, because it's all numbers and now we have 9 numbers to remember, we don't have names attached to these, we don't have themes attached to these, make it the season of, that's the one where they did 3 tribes of 4. And I go, oh yeah, that was season 49, because that's the one where Savannah and Sage finally came to a head, and then we had the bottoms up alliance. Like, I'll remember that better than I'm going to remember whatever the swap was in 44, although that's probably a bad example, because that was the one that was stupid, where like Carson moved one person over and everybody else. But like, that one's even memorable, right? You tried it once, it didn't work, you don't do it again. But I think that the show's almost become like, we just got to draw rocks. I mean, we can't do it. We just have to keep drawing rocks. We have so many rocks that just need to be drawn. We don't have a choice, and that's a shame.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, and I hope that post 50, that's what they do. Is where they go to back to like themes or 2 tribes, or just make it different. You know, that's all it is. It's just change it up. And that's what we want to see. So, yeah.
And here's Daryl Seymour. Omer needs to work on the show. There you go. I feel like that's what people want, right? Rob Cesternino had the Instagram post that he put out not too long ago where he was saying season 51 is the most important season for Survivor. And I 100% agree with him because his point was perfect. After these monumental seasons, Survivor struggles to figure out what it wants to do. I love Vanuatu. I think Vanuatu is a great season. I love the storyline there. But at the end of the day, after All-Stars, they rehashed something we had seen three seasons previous, right? After Heroes versus Villains, they had no clue what they wanted to do. After Winners at War, they said, we're going to do something totally different. It didn't work because Jeff went a little too cuckoo with some of his decisions there. But the new era feels different from what came before it. You have to make 51 feel different at this point. You have
That's to. What they should have. They should have listened to me because I said, you know, that is a struggle is what happens after that big moment. And that's why I think it's almost like you need to step down and, but not all the way to the ground because that's too much. So like do Heroes versus Villains with just do another returning player season that doesn't have as much of a, like gravitas as 50 of the number. Everybody's been thinking about it for over a year, but then just mix it up and do something that's like is returning player thing, but like not as built up, but it's like a homage to the fans. And that way then people are like, okay, now we've seen that and we are ready for new people again, because any new player season that precedes or unfortunately, or follows such a big season like 50 is going to struggle with that. And that's why I think they need a crutch.
Yeah. Well, and honestly a crutch for this, and I've been saying this for a while, Fans versus Favorites 3, this is the prime time to do it. This is the prime time. Cause I'll tell you what, like if they were putting diehard fans out there, if they were putting like somebody like a Teg with or me on this island, I have a relationship with enough of the players that somebody on that island, I'm going to have either met or I'm going to have done a podcast with, or I'm going to do something. And there's so many people like that in the community. And it's not just people who do podcasts and stuff like that. There's people that I run into, like I've gone to Ron Clark a couple years in a row or, you know, every other year, whatever it is, you'll run into people there who will be like, remember last year we did this thing together and we did this. And it's like, yeah, that was fun. That person is now able to get in contact with players in a way that wasn't possible in season 16, wasn't possible in season 26. Now, all of a sudden, there's not this crazy advantage for the returning players. It's much more of a more even playing field. You can build up new legends while also having like a little bit easier of a come down off of the monumental season 50. I agree with you. And then make 52 an all newbie season. And if that totally flops, make sure 54 is going to have some returning players too.
Yeah. And I think also, I think they got very lucky with Fans versus Favorites 1, especially, and even Fans versus Favorites 2 had some big moments.
Yeah.
I think they got very lucky that it was what it was because they cast a bunch of fans that were not actually fans and they didn't know what they were doing. And it was just like cannon fodder for the favorites to just eliminate all in a row. And so then when you go to season 38, when they do Edge of Extinction and they have four returning players and then 14 relatively competent new players, you see what happens. It's just a slaughter of the returning players. So having like the way they cast now, you cast 10 of those and then 10 favorites. That's an actually exciting game because there is one team has more experience, but the other team has the knowledge of everybody on the other tribe. And so I think it actually would be very dynamic and very fun. And I think it's over. I think that of all of the themes that they could revisit, that is the one that has the most potential to be a fire season.
100%. And it's funny, we're about to do, as we're going through them in order, Karamoan, we are recording tomorrow night. We are recording all of our episodes for the next month. And as I'm going through that season again, I'm like, this isn't as bad as people remember. The pre-merge is hard. The pre-merge is tough, especially with Brandon and Shamar. They're brutal. So yeah. But that post-merge, I mean, the Three Amigos stuff, the Corinne blindside, the whole Eddie storyline is super underrated. Like there's a lot going on in that season that people have kind of just been like, oh, it's the knockoff crappy version of Fans vs. Favorites. No, Fans vs. Favorites 1 had better favorites, right, than Fans vs. Favorites 2 did. But if you get Fans vs. Favorites 3 now and it's all people that were left off of, you know, Survivor 50, wink, wink. I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but I might be staring at someone right now. You know, that becomes a more exciting thing. I mean, they know who fans are clamoring for now. They know who fans were the most pissed off weren't on 50. Take advantage of that momentum right now. Throw in fans alongside it and say, you've all been saying nonstop that you could beat these people, that this game's too easy, that you don't like me. Jeff can get out there and say that. Yeah. Maybe not in one of his weird accents he's been doing lately when he's telling you to go do apply or whatever. But I'm like, you could do something like that. That would be massive. I know we've gotten totally off track of ranking players, but that would be just monumental. And I feel like that would be awesome. And this is the perfect time to do it. That would get fans super pumped. That would get returning players super. That would get the community just as a whole more excited than they even are for season 50 right now.
Agreed. Your lips to their ears.
I know. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I just want 2 hours in a room with Jeff. That's all I want. All right. Who do you have as the second safest person on this episode?
I have Rizzo as number two because he's got the idol. I think that even though on paper the other four should get together and vote them out, that they're a little bit more fractured, whereas a tight group of three, as we saw in Survivor Samoa and Survivor Token Genes, like sometimes the smaller group that's more tight will win the day at the end of the day. And if not, at least he has an idol within that group.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to put Rizzo this high. Look, I'm falling apart in my power ranking, so I'm going to take a little bit of a shot here. My last couple weeks have not been good, so I'm going to take a shot, and I don't know if people are going to think I'm an idiot here. I'm actually going to put Christina at number two instead.
I don't think that's dumb.
Okay, I wasn't sure how that would be seen, and the reason I'm going with this is you're going for Steven or you're going for Sage.
Yes.
Or the other side is going for Sophie, Rizzo, or Savannah, and I don't know which it is. In what world are you worried about Christina winning this game? Because for as great as the moment about her mother was last week, for as emotional as people will feel regarding that towards her, right? Everybody has a heart. Everybody on this island is human. Everybody is going to feel for her and is going to have a special place for her. You don't get the votes on Survivor. That's not what gets you the votes
at the end. Yeah, I feel like she has a better chance than Sophie in some ways, just because Christina, she was pretty tight with all the Hinas that have been sent to the jury, whereas Sophie turned on them. So if she can make it to the end, like a Danny Boatwright or a Chris, like the jury always does want to favor the underdog that made it there. However, it's just, there's going to be so many opportunities to vote out Christina. She's not the immunity challenge threat that Sophie, Savannah, Steven, those three have demonstrated so far. And so I think that, why now? I don't think there would be a reason now, regardless.
And she just played her idol. Right.
Yeah.
You're not worried about her having an idol. You're not worried about anything happening with her here. I feel like she's the person right now that you're probably trying to keep in the game a little bit longer, because if you're Sophie, Rizzo, and Savannah, and you say somebody from the opposition group is going to sneak in, I think you're probably saying you want it to be Christina at this point. I could see the argument for Sophie Segretti, but you don't want it to be Sage and you don't want it to be Steven. I think you're scared of those two, so you want to get rid of one of those. And, you know, spoilers, that's where my mind is at for this week, at least, if anything were to happen. So I got Christina at two.
Agreed.
So who do you have at
three? I have Yellow Sophie as three.
Okay.
Because I felt like she's in the middle, so she's relatively safe. However, in the situation where she gets caught playing both sides, or if the other side, if she wants to flip and then Sage or Steven or Christina rat her out, then she could be the one that could go home as the biggest immunity threat as well. So I do see a path in which she could go home. I just think that overall, the likelihood of that is lower than the other four I have.
Yeah. And so we flipped our Sophies, because I have Sophie B here at number three. I feel like Sophie B is in a better spot than Savannah and Rizzo. I know there was a comment from Daryl Seymour earlier. He was talking about Alex's exit press, where he was saying that in Alex's exit interview, he said that people on the island viewed Rizzo and Savannah as really good players. So it was definitely, say with me, Q, a big mistake to not get rid of one of those two. They weren't feeling necessarily the same way about Sophie Bellarity. Now, again, this is just Alex's point of view in an exit interview, so who knows? But I feel like right now Sophie Bellarity should be safe, but if Savannah wins immunity and Sophie Segretti flips, Rizzo's playing his idol for himself, and Sophie Bellarity has to use knowledge as power, which I think she would. That's why I have her at three. But that's the avenue. That's the way in which I see her go, which I think is more likely than any of the ways in which I see Sophie, or the other Sophie, or Christina going.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think that the way that Sophie goes is other Sophie decides to flip, and they keep it really tight lipped, and they're like, who's the least likely to play the idol? And then they go for Sophie B. But I think that if they were to do that, that's actually kind of a mistake. Like, they should probably be a bit sus and act a bit weird so that Rizzo is spooked into playing the idol, so that it at least burns it, but it's probably not going to be on to Sophie B.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know if she has knowledge's power either. So
yeah, that's the thing we have to remember as viewers. Nobody knows about knowledge's power. I know that's so weird for us, because in the new era, I feel like people tell about their advantages all the time. I think I think a lot of people are assuming at least somebody knows. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah. That's
crazy.
Yeah.
Who do you have as number four?
Four, I have Christina, because again, I think that she is unlikely to be the one chosen to go home. However, if the tighter group of three prevails and they elect to go for somebody who is, you know, maybe less likely to have an idol played on them, then they might go for Christina. But I think that she's probably safe.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that I had everybody else kind of locked in. She's the one that I kind of moved around up and down,
mm-hmm.
and could see her as high as number two even.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I had her. Yeah. I feel like Christina's game is weird right now. And she's the one I don't see as a winner on this season from what the edit has been.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have no idea what place she finishes. I know a lot of people are thinking maybe she's a third place finalist. Maybe some people are saying she's going home this week. I have no idea where she's going to land right now. I just don't think she's going to be number one. So
I could see her being the fire loser.
I could see that for sure. Yeah. I have Rizzo at four. So kind of, we have the same top four, just in a different order. I feel like Rizzo he's flying so close to the sun right now that I'm just waiting for the wings to start melting a little bit. And I feel like he's getting there. I think last week he confirmed that there should be a massive target on his back. And that's a tricky place to be, right? Like, even if people think you're a good player, you go up there, you play a fake idol at that tribal council, and half of the people didn't know that this was going to happen. You've now made yourself a big, big threat for that jury. I feel like that could do him in, and maybe you do get Sophie Segretti saying, it's got to be Rizzo tonight. We have no choice. Mm-hmm. And Rizzo doesn't see it coming because he feels really good about who's with him. And look, we've seen him three tribal councils now not play his idol because he feels that good about it. So I'm going to put him at four, right in the middle. I still feel like there are three people more likely, but I couldn't get as excited as you were to put him there at number two, because he is just, man, it's like, I'm a Lions fan, man, for all those football people out there. Dan Campbell, when he converts fourth down, you're feeling good. When he goes 0-for-4 on fourth down, like he did on Thanksgiving, everybody's like, dude, we should fire you. You suck. And I feel like that's where Rizzo's at right now. He's been rolling the dice and it's been working. What's going to happen the one time it doesn't work?
It's kind of ironic because we went from Survivor 46 where it's like, play your idol, to now being like, never play your idol. And it's like so situational. I like the game that he's playing. I think the question is, do you think that it was a good move to play the fake idol? Because I'm of two mindsets. One is like, if there's actually plausible deniability for people to now maybe think he doesn't have one, then I think it's fine. However, the way that he was doing it and his reaction to it and the fact that it was like a community idol where Sage is going to know, then I feel like it was just for like show and it might not be a good thing for him.
I was trying to figure out, and I still don't have the answer. Maybe we'll have the answer at the end of the season, why he felt so compelled to do this. And part of me said, maybe he wants to see reactions.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, why does he need to necessarily see these reactions? Like, they were going to have the numbers, it felt like, because of Savannah's extra, but I don't know. He was, and then
Christina played her idol already, right?
Christina had played her idol. Right? I think so. Yeah. Because then it was, at that point, know she didn't play it for the right person. So why are you getting up to play yours? And then you play the fake one. I feel like everybody on Uli knows it's real and everybody knows he has an idol. So I don't know if he's just trying to confuse people and hope that they're starving and they're hungry or whatever. I don't understand. Like I said, I think he makes himself a bigger threat in front of the jury because he's being able to showboat and people will remember that when they sit down to vote at the end. But I truly do not understand what the total purpose of that group was.
If I was on the jury, would not be impressed by this in the sense that unless it had a specific purpose, if it had a specific purpose and it was articulated and it was effective, I would say sure. And to me, the way I could see that is if people just now are questioning whether or not he has one at all, in which case, I just think there's too much that's happened in terms of his reaction, the fact that they all found it together for that to be true. And B, it's almost better that they do think he has an idol at this point, because then they're going to be afraid to kind of go for him. And if they think that he might not, then they might be more likely to be like, okay, well, screw it. Let's get him out. And that's not what he needs right now. No. I think that if we're trying to like showboat and make a big move in front of everybody, then it's kind of deflating when it's like, oh, it's not real. So what's like, what was that for? Just for like the moment, or did it serve a purpose? And I think that that's what I would be. We didn't really hear his thoughts on that. So I would really want to know, because I'm very open-minded as to like, if it was a good move, then I'll be happy to like champion it. But if it had just been like a showboat moment for no specific reason, I'd be like, I'm not sure that's a smart thing, because A, people could be like, you know, like you're trying to like fool us into thinking that that was something special, or B, it put a target on your back for no reason. It's kind of like in Ghost Island when, and I love Wendell, but when Wendell's like, now I'm going to step out and make my move and gives his immunity idol to Laurel, like obviously it didn't cost him the win because he won, but I was just like, oh, that's like not a big move. She's not going home.
Yeah. I totally hear. Hey, but that actually got him the win, because then she said, damn, I need to vote for you to win.
But she probably would have voted for him anyways.
I know. I don't know. That's the number one question I have. And I'd be curious what he'll say in his exit press. Cause you know, we're going to get exit press from him, whether he wins, loses, gets voted out this week, we're going to get something. And I'd be very curious to know what that's going to be. And,
I want to hear it too.
Call up Mike Bloom and be like, dude, ask the right question here.
Yeah.
Where else are we at? All right. Who do you have at number five?
Sage. I have at number five. Cause I think, she's just less likely to get targeted than Steven if the other side wins out. But she is still in quite a bit of danger.
Yeah, this is where it's so hard for me to pick between Sage and Steven. I am so up in the air on these two, because Steven feels like he should be the one who they're more worried about winning, but Sage feels like the one who can cause the most chaos right now. I think the game that Steven is playing that's really good is he is so like he's just nothing. And I mean that in a positive way. He's not aggressive. He's not too passive. He is just playing, and he is just there as a normal person who just happens to be on Survivor. And so he's not the person you're worried about blowing up the game, because he's already been blindsided a couple times and he said, yeah, okay, whatever, we'll see what happens. He's also not the person who is disappearing into the background. He still is doing things. So you might still be worried that he's a threat to win the game, because you know he's well-liked. But because he's not the person who's going to go over the top and blow up your game, do you worry about him being a threat at Final 7 when he still has to go four tribal councils to get to the end? Or are you more concerned about the person like Sage, who can just say, screw you, I got some crazy advantage and I'm going to make sure you're the person who goes home, and be a little bit more vindictive? So I actually am going to go with Steven here at number five, because I think he's a little more harmless than Sage. And I feel like Sage, we saw it with Shannon. When the claws come out, I mean, she's going for the kill. She's not going to maim, she's going for the kill. And so I feel like right now you're scared of her if you're on the other side. And if you get a chance to take her out, you're going to go for her instead of Steven. And I don't see her really as a challenge threat. And I don't think we've seen her as one so far this season. So I'll go Steven.
So I see, that's the interesting thing is I feel like the opposite in terms of if I were Rizzo, Sophie, and Savannah, I would be way more threatened by Steven at this point, because he has a tighter connections than Sage. And so he's probably, as the most amicable one, probably has the ability to bring those four together. Whereas a fiery Sage that's pissed off with Sophie, can they all come together? I don't know. So I could see it both ways.
Yeah. You know what's also been, and I'm trying to read into this a little bit more, is Hina versus Uli has been played up so much on this season. It's going to be Hina versus Uli. It's going to be Hina versus Uli. Is it actually going to be Hina versus Uli here? Because right now, like, I know that it's kind of been set up that way, but not really. Like, Jawan and Sage were on, they were Uli people who were working with Hina. Could we be getting to the point where this is finally that Uli versus Hina thing that they've been talking about? And Sage just happens to be over on the Hina tribe, because I'm trying to figure out why they focused on that so much when that hasn't really
felt. I think that was probably one of the biggest things that was going on at the time, you know?
Yeah, and that was it.
And I guess I feel like that storyline died when MC and Sophie Segretti turned on each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go first here so I can let you end it, since, you know, everybody wants to hear your thoughts, not mine. So I'm actually going to put Savannah at the bottom. I'm going to put Sage at six, and I'm going to put Savannah at the bottom. And I think this might be Savannah's time to go home. Sage going home would not surprise me in the slightest. I honestly, this is one of I think this is one of the most wide open episodes yet. I also think the added benefit right now as a Survivor viewer is that if you know Rizzo and Savannah are on 50, which now everybody who's listening knows, if you didn't know yet, you're officially at the point where they are vulnerable. Right? Tiffany is coming back to play season 50 and she finished eighth place. We are at final seven. These people are vulnerable. They could go home. And after last week's episode, after the last couple of episodes, look, I don't know what earned your spot means, but I sure as hell know Jeff absolutely loved Rizzo getting up and talking in front of the class. And I know he's loved what he has seen from Savannah so far. So if Jeff is enjoying Savannah and Rizzo, they have done enough to get on to 50. They've earned their spot. I would not be surprised if either of them go home. Sage feels like the easy boot this week, but if you're Sophie Segretti and you're Sophie Bellardi and you're playing this to win the game, you have to get Savannah out of the game right now, or Rizzo. You have to get one of them. And I think that they're smart enough to take the shot. Now, does an idol get played? Does something like that happen that ultimately sends home Sage anyway? Who knows? But I'm going to take the shot here, and I'm going to say Sage is six and Savannah, this is her last week.
So I feel like my bottom two are Savannah and Steven, which are two that I feel like are on opposite sides and the most likely to go home from if the other opposing side wins out. So then I have to decide which side do I think is more likely to win out. And again, the challenging part here is that Steven's side should win out because there's four of them. They're just more fractured and have a hard time getting on the same page, whereas Savannah has less numbers, but her side is much tighter. And they have an immunity idol. And she could possibly win immunity. So when I'm factoring all of those things, I put her at six and Steven at seven. Really could go either way. It really just depends on whether or not they can get those four together. But even if they do, Savannah still has an out with immunity and she still has an out with the immunity idol.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be, this is the episode, I feel like. We're going to know if Sophie Bellardi is going to use the knowledge as power. I think even if she doesn't use it this episode, we will know by the end of this episode if it's going to be used on Rizzo. I think we'll have a good sense. I am looking at this going, if Savannah, Rizzo, Sophie Bellardi all survive this and there doesn't seem to be a counterattack against Savannah or Rizzo forming, like Sophie Segretti and Sophie Bellardi are just like, nope, that's our alliance. Sucks to be you others. I feel like, yeah, we might be getting to a predictable three, but can Savannah win the game? Can Rizzo win the game? I don't know. So Savannah right now, this might be the week she has to survive to win the game. But in my opinion, she's still in that like work to do category. I feel like this is her week to survive. But even if she survives, she is not the favorite to win this game. Now, yeah. I don't know if you disagree with that, but that's where I stand coming into this episode.
I mean, I think that to me, I think that this game is not like some of the other ones that we've seen where it really is like D's game to win was like pretty obvious from even this point, I would say. Like obviously Austin could still pull it out. But it just seems like those two were leagues ahead, and D, you know, we were shown to see had the upper hand over him because she didn't tell him about the Julie blind side, whereas he told her about the Drew blind side. The you know what I mean? Yeah. So she had the upper hand on him. And so it seemed like at that point it was a steamroll. You had a season like, 44 even, where yes, it could be Carolyn or Jam, but it seemed like, or Carson, but it seemed like it was kind of locked up within that alliance. I think that this season is interesting because there's two opposing sides and one side is a little bit more fractured, but I feel like either could win out. I think based on the edit, we've seen much more of the underdogs, which are now the top dogs. Mm-hmm. But I think from even within that group, I can see Savannah winning. I can see Rizzo winning, and I can see Sophie B winning. And I think that of all of them, Sophie B's in the best position because she just needs to play the knowledge is power that nobody knows. And then she has the win. From the other side, I think that Sage has the best story in terms of like what's been the most fleshed out. So I don't want to rule her out. And I think that Steven got a lot of like focus when it wasn't necessary at times. Mm-hmm. Like when the whole yellow tribe was purpled, he was always the one that was getting the focus. So that to me, storyline wise, leads me to believe that he's probably like the last yellow tribe member standing. But like, I just don't know why he gets the focus when if Christina lasts longer than him or Sophie Segretti. But just from a game standpoint, I have to put him at the bottom. But from an edit standpoint, I could see a little bit more longevity to his game.
Yeah, Steven's a weird one because you know, again, going back to the confessional numbers, I always like looking at this. He's at 37, which is right on the heels of – I mean, Savannah has 61, but Savannah has three really big episodes, and one of those was circumstantial. I always say with circumstantial, that's what Alex got, right? Alex got 21 confessionals the first two episodes. It was all circumstantial. He gets 23 the rest of the season. He was in 9 episodes. He got 23 the rest of the season in 7 episodes. And I feel like right now – Steven's right on everybody's heels. Sophie and Christina are way lower down, but he's right there. And I've been doing this since season 30, and season 32 had the weirdest edit of all time, which was because Michelle won. And I remember saying
she still got a lot of airtime.
That's what I'm saying. I remember saying that throughout the season, saying, why are they going to Michelle? She's not the best TV. She's not the most amazing strategist. She's not giving these like, you know, Courtney level type confessionals that you feel like you got to be involved all the time, and her tribe is winning. So why are we getting so much Michelle? And then sure enough, she wins. And then when Gabler got that again in 43, I kept saying, if Jesse doesn't win, it's going to be Gabler, because Gabler was getting confessionals for no reason. And that's where Steven is. And you know, what's crazy. And this blows my mind, but I feel like the majority of fans right now are rooting for Steven. And
I can see that,
but somehow the edit's leading people there.
Well, he was my winner pick, so we'll see what happens with that. But I did think that he's a very likable guy. It's just that but there are times where he really has not been involved in the direct storyline, but is the one focused. So I do think there's something to that. But to me, I'm like, because the Yellow Tribe was so under-edited, I just don't see them having the winner of the season. And so that's why I was like, I feel like he gives me last one standing from the Hina tribe vibes, but it'll be interesting to see who's right or wrong.
Yeah, how do your winner picks previously look? Have you had a good track record, or have you been terrible?
No, but name a seat. I picked Kim as a winner pick.
That was a long time ago, Omer.
I know. That was like one of the last ones, I think. 41. I want to say I probably said Shan. 42, I said me.
Mm-hmm. Close.
Almost so. Yeah. Although in my journal, I should have pulled out my journal for this. In my journal, I made a prediction of how everybody would place on 42. I actually said I would probably be sixth-ish. I should have said winner. But I said,
you got in your own head. You were like, it's more important to be right than win the $1 million. That's what happened.
Yes, exactly. But I had Mike and Marianne where I said potential winner, interestingly. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that for anybody else. So
that's interesting.
That was manifested. It's just because you can tell sometimes people's vibes. Like, I don't know, they just seemed like they knew what they were going to be doing. 43, I don't remember, but I have not had a good track record in the new era. That's for sure.
Well, let's ask this then to let you redeem yourself. Are you sticking with Steven, or who's your winner pick at this point?
I can't switch so late in the season, but I don't think Steven will win based on like how it's been going on the edit. So I'll still get the credit if he does win because I did pick him before the season. I think that's the only official winner pick.
Okay.
Or maybe after episode one. But I would say based on the way the game is going now, I like the Sophie B pick.
Yeah. So far I've had 11 guests or 10 guests, whatever it is. We have one, two, let's see, three. You're the fifth one to pick Sophie B.
Yeah. I just love her position. If she has that killer instinct to pull off the knowledge is power, because she absolutely deserves to win if she can pull that off and take it from Rizzo, specifically Rizzo. I think that taking it from Christina, not that interesting, not enough. I think that taking it from Rizzo would be a killer move for her.
Yeah. I think it worked out better for her that Christina used hers, because now the temptation to take hers isn't there. And I thought it was really good gameplay from her. I don't think people are talking about it enough. Very good gameplay from her last week to say, this isn't worth it. Just let her do what she's going to do. It's not worth taking this and putting the pressure on myself. Let's keep the opportunity open for something potentially at a more important point.
Yeah. And that's what I did too with the nullifier. It's I like wanted to keep it in my hands as long as possible and to keep the idols in the game as long as possible. So I remember people were like, why are you keeping around? You know, Drea has an advantage and an immunity idol, an extra vote, blah, 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 blah. And Mike still has his immunity idol. Like, are you going to get Sarid out of the game? Mm-hmm. And it was because no, like I had that waiting to use it on Mike. Like that was the plan. And I think actually, and that's what I would say for Sophie is don't let that dictate your game either to some extent, like have it as a tool in the back of your pocket, but don't. And that's what I like what she did. She didn't use it when she shouldn't have, because I let that dictate some of the decisions I made. Like for instance, keeping high or Mike over high was way better for my game. Yeah. But I kept Mike because I still had a relationship with Mike. And I was like, now you're going to be my victim later on for the knowledge is power the nullifier. Yeah. So if you let that change decisions about who you're exiting in from the game based on relationships and things like that, it is a mistake, because Hive was going to be more useful to my game down the line than someone like Mike was, because Mike had his own relationships and his own independent game, whereas Hive was very tied in with my game at the time. Mm-hmm. So I like that Sophie, what she's doing, but her last killer move is a Marianne style move at six, I think. Or sooner if Rizzo's going to play it, but that's her move.
Yeah, because she's not somebody who can just pull that out at the end and say, I never had to use this. Nobody's going to care. That's not going to be enough to get you to win. You got to use it.
Yeah.
Look at that. You got free advice from Over tonight, everybody who's about to be on 40 or on 51. You have anything else you want to add to the end of this, Omer? I feel like that was a pretty painless hour and 21 minutes. I mean, we went through everything. And normally you get down to final seven, you're like, 55 minutes. Instead, we dove in on a little bit of everything for that hour and a half, which
we had to. That's how we do it.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know any other way.
There you go.
I think that this season, I think that people are of two mindsets. I think that, I think a lot of the old school haters, it's kind of like, it's hard because I think it's like when the worst person, you know, has a good point. You know what I mean? Like, yes, has the latter half of 48 post merge and at least the pre-merge of 49 been a rougher patch in the Survivor history? I would say yes. Is that the fault of the cast? I would say no. Is that more about game design? I would say probably. Definitely for 49, less for 48 because that was all post merge. But also, you can't hate the players, you hate the game, you know, like the whole history of Survivor is you have ebbs and flows of strategy. Sometimes when you see three seasons in a row of an original tribe sticking together, such as 22, 23, 24, that's going to result in people not sticking together because they've seen that most recently. And then when that happens enough, then you'll go backwards. It's always an ebb and a flow. And I think a lot of the new people in 48 and 49 have watched that. It's incentivizing to stick with your alliance when the game is so chaotic because you are going to be more successful. So I think that it is part of the evolution of the game to have dips like that. And I would say, I don't think 8-49 has been worse than the stretch of 22-23 and some people would add in 21-24 to that, but I kind of like those, to be honest, but I can see what people are going for. Is it as rough of a patch as 35-36? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. 34-35-36, if you will. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I think that there's been, I thought 13-14 was a very rough patch for the show as well.
Yeah, Cook Islands is an underrated, not good season.
Agreed. Like, it's like half the people there got no airtime and you don't even know who they are. It's like, you know, Ozzie, Yule, Candace, Parvati, and Jonathan, and that's it.
That's it. That's it.
So I think that this is, I think that people that are like hating on it now, just because it's the new era, if those other seasons like 22, 23 aired now, you would hate it 10 times more than this.
Oh yeah.
So I just think people, and people at the time always complained as well. Like, people are always going to complain no matter what, but I will say, I mean, I agree, it's been a bit of a rougher patch, but I really think the last few episodes have picked up a lot. And I do think that part of it is not fair for the players because it was based on game design and the fact that 50 is coming up and that's such a big season. Mm-hmm. And I will say, even amongst the alumni community, you know, you can see the effect 50 had on a lot of people. And I think it put a lot of people off. And that means those people are not going to give this the benefit of the doubt, mm-hmm. because they already, you know, and I would say myself included, you know, it's a little triggering to watch some things, but mm-hmm. it is, ultimately you have to go back to your love to the show of the show and hope that, that it'll be good and wish for it to be good.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're at this point in Survivor where there's just so many people who aren't going to like it no matter what. They're just not.
Yeah.
They want it to be a show that it's never going to be. And that's what I always say too. It's like, if you're never going to like it, don't watch it. I was pissed very early on in the show. I was pissed that they did the post merge split. I hate that. But again, now we've hit a stretch here of the Nate boot was good. Honestly, even as annoying as it was, as stupid as the post merge split was, that was a good episode. Everything around it was good. And the last couple episodes have been really good. And I thought last week's episode was the best by far. And honestly, last week's episode could end up going down as one of the best episodes of the new era, when we actually can look back on this and know who wins this season and know what happened and know what effect this truly had. That might go down as the best episode other than Operation Italy. And so I feel like there's a lot of momentum right now, but like you said, there was already such a distrust with Survivor because of certain things. And then with some of the choices that were made for 50, there was such a distrust. And then with how bad 48's ending was into the start of this, I think people had just, the easiest thing to be was negative. And now I feel like people, mm-hmm. It's the whole thing of like, if you make a call in a sporting event, you're not going to change your call because you don't want to be wrong. Mm-hmm. You don't want to admit you're wrong. I feel like that's where some people are at. I feel like this season has picked up significantly. Is it as good as, I personally love 43? Like, is it as good as that? No. Is it as good as 47? No. Is it getting close to 46? Yeah, I actually think it is. And I really love the post-merge of 46, but it's a very similar season. Terrible pre-merge or lackluster pre-merge. Starts mm-hmm. to pick up. Let's get a shocking ending. Let's get a Charlie versus Kenzie. Let's get something like that that makes you sit there with your jaw on the floor a little bit at the final tribal council. And yeah, mm-hmm. I'm along for this ride. I, even knowing that there's two people on 50, I do not know who's going home on a week-to-week basis. And I think that's been part of the fun of this season.
Right. For sure.
All right. Everybody go enjoy your Sunday night. That's it. It's going to be December tomorrow. I don't know how the heck that happened, but it will be. And that's that. So become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. Since it's the holiday season, we got 50% off of our Patreon. Rizzo just distracted me in the chat. We got 50% off of our Patreon through the finale. So go
Rizzo's ahead. Rizzo's in the chat. Hello, Rizzo.
There he is. He just said 43 love from Phil, a hot take that I respect. gotta get one in here that he
wait, can Rizzo tell us what the answer was to our question?
Probably not, right? I feel like Rizzo's been the most protective. Rizzo, just tell everybody. Yeah, message us, please. For the love of God, tell us what was going on there.
What was the plan?
We need to know. It's keeping me up at night, truly. I don't sleep. Here you go. Omer, there's your answer. In due time.
In due time.
But yeah, I'm going to be live. Will and I will be live on Wednesday after the episode. Tegwit's going to be live tomorrow with Jake O'Kane. So that'll be fun for her Matt chat. And then on next week, I have Wendell. So we have a big week coming up. I got Brandon Donlan on Thursday. Got a whole bunch of guests. Patreon.com, as I already said. And that's it. That's all we got. So, Omer, thank you for coming on. It's been a little bit. I'm glad that we were able to get you on and make this happen.
I thought it was this episode because I really think I was in Survivor Sadness, and this one really, like, got me back.
People are going. I feel like, hey, it's hard not to be positive about the direction that this season is going. I truly feel that way. So, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and I will see you all on Wednesday night.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.